You're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. You'll be amazed at all these wild but true situations that others have found themselves in. Because on this show, you'll hear uncensored, unbelievable stories from the world of real estate. I'm Lee Brown. Let's dive right in.
I'm Lee Brown. This is Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And today we're going to go visit Topeka, Kansas and talk to Melissa Herdman with a little good advice and very sage counsel for not just agents, but also for buyers and sellers in today's market. So I hope you'll enjoy the conversation. I'll see you on the other side. Hello.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
How nice to finally meet you in person. I was just looking at a magazine.
Oh, Topeka City Lifestyle. That's a pretty fancy looking magazine. Do you send that to clients or is that one of those pretty ones you find in doctor's offices and hotel lobbies?
Well, and neighborhoods.
I pick those up every chance I get because I'm always interested in what real estate looks like in other cities, and I want to find a factoid.
Next month, this is going to be my page, the Realty Report.
So is that some local statistics that are provided by local realtors?
Yes. So I got the page. It's coveted. And I'm excited about that because I started out as low woman on the totem pole.
Is that because they had a waiting list or is it a seniority thing? Or
yes. This is me and my ad.
Very nice. I like that it's a feature of the house and not just the outside of a house.
Right. Because you can see that kitchen in all sorts of houses.
Right.
You don't want to be in some sort of mansion, because then they'll think Melissa can't sell us anything but mansions. A kitchen like that you can find in all price points.
And you could have it added to your own home too, because, you know, half of our job is telling people how to make that house a little better so they can sell it 5 years from now. And that's one of those fun things that we aren't paid for in real estate that builds our relationships. So Melissa, tell our audience a little bit about you, where you're located, how long you've been in real estate. Give them a little bit of background.
Hi, I'm Melissa Herdman. I am with Kirk & Cup Realtors in Topeka, Kansas. I serve Northeast Kansas. We have offices in both Topeka and Osage City, Kansas. Locally family-owned company since 1947, and we are truly family here. I've been in real estate since 2012, second career real estate agent. I have some sort of nursing license since 1986. Which makes me a fogey in any profession I'm in.
I mean, whatever. It means you understand why I keep taking on and off my reading glasses. This is the worst thing. Very offended by needing these all the time, but here we are. All right, so you crossed the decade mark in real estate, which is, I like to tell early career agents who are watching and listening to this, they're always anxious to know, when does the business smooth out about the space Melissa's in? It really smooths out around that decade mark when you've been in for so long that people just organically already know. You can do additional marketing, but you're known as a real estate pro. And it just takes forever because we're such a big competitive space. But I'm very curious about what took you out of nursing and into real estate. Was it, were you burned out from the hours in nursing? Were you just looking for a change? Did you mistakenly think you were going to have free time in your life as a realtor? What brought you over to this world?
Actually, my kids is what took me out of nursing. I was a family nurse practitioner at a rural family practice clinic, which was busy, lots of hours. It was one physician and myself, and I was on call half the time. The kids' dad had an equally demanding job, and they got to be the age, frankly, where they needed parents, not things, or a parent. So we made the decision that somebody needed to be home so they could be better supervised. They could be run to their practices. Somebody could go to their games, those type of things. And I wasn't a very good stay-at-home parent. And I was driving to get my haircut one day, and there was a sign in front of Kirk & Cobb Realtors that said that they were starting new agent classes. So I called them and talked to them and thought I would give it a try. And it ended up being probably one of the scariest but best decisions I've ever made.
So you've been at the same firm from pre-licensing till year 11. That is so rare in this business because of greener grass mentality that people get when they have one moment of success. They generally get all blown up and they got to go run out and find something different. Tell us a little bit about the reasons you've stayed put in a field that is wildly competitive and you have 1,000 options. Why have you stayed, besides the fact that you've already mentioned they're family owned? What has been the culture that keeps you there?
For one thing, it's a full service brokerage. And Steve Kirk, our broker, has been a broker for well over 50 years.
50.
Yes.
He knows it all then. He probably talks about the one-page contract and a handshake.
Yes. And we have agents who have been here. One just celebrated her 50th, 50 anniversary. You know, people come and they stay. It's family. We care about each other. We empower and encourage each other to do the right things.
Right.
And by having staff, trained staff, experienced staff, I'm able to do what I'm best at, which is spend more time with the buyers and the sellers and the people. And our closing officer has many, many years of title experience. They're good people helping me look good.
And you're a baby there, apparently. So, I mean, just by comparison, they probably just look at you as that young girl, and there's nothing wrong with that feeling sometimes.
Yes, but not really. I started later, so I'm not a baby.
I don't know, but I like being young by comparison in the business where the average age is 56. It's hard to be one of the younger ones in the business.
That's true. When you're right there at the average.
That's right. And we're not average, but we don't mind being the average when it comes to the age in real estate.
Yes. As long as that age creeps up every year and I can stay below it.
Right. That's right. It's all about perspective. Everything in life is perspective, right?
Yes.
So I'd love to know what in the world you've experienced in your 11 years of real estate that caused you to say, Lee Brown, I got to come talk to you about some crazy shit in real estate. I am so anxious to know the more of the Melissa story. There's all these things that the public never sees about real estate because HGTV is scripted. And our jobs, if they are anything, they are not scripted. And we're always encountering different opportunities. And my viewers and listeners love hearing about that one time you experienced this thing that you couldn't believe it ever happened to you. So what's the one story that's happened in your career that you still can't believe you experienced it?
Gosh, you can feel all those emotions by 9 o'clock on a good day.
It's the truth. We're the same client.
Yes, they're the same file. Oh, so much crazy, because I feel like every day I'm texting somebody, you can't make this up. I need to talk to you.
It's probably one of our most frequently used phrases. You are never going to believe this. You can't make this up. And I've never seen it all.
No. And I think the thing that impacts me the most every day is that it's like with healthcare, where every time I thought anything that walks in that door, I'm going to know who to call or what to do or how to take care of it. Somebody would say, hold my beer, let me. And that's exactly what real estate does. Every time I think that, okay, any question that a new agent calls me or we come up, I'm going to know the answer. And then I'm going, well, let me think about that a minute. I don't know. I think one of the craziest things that among the many that's just maybe G-rated or PG-rated is the time I had this listing. And this was back when you had to market listings and you had to advertise them. And it took a lot of work.
The wild and crazy times before COVID, when things sold in 2 hours, back when.
Yes.
30, 60, 90, 180 days on market that the younger agents have never seen that market. And they're going to be wildly surprised when it reemerges. So, yes, I remember we had to make flyers.
Yeah. And you'd have to have the photographer come back out because the seasons had changed.
Oh, that's right. The snow versus the leaves.
Yes. In February, you would laugh at people that had green grass in the yard.
It's true. We judged a lot.
Yeah. Lots of judging. So anyway, I had this listing and I can't remember how long it was on the market and it doesn't matter. We finally found a buyer and everybody was so excited. The seller was so excited. Yay! Inspections, remember those, and repairs, did those. And the lender was not that great, but back then you just, well, we'll work with it. You know, finally, it's been 90 days. We'll work on it. We'll keep on them. Finally, after a couple of closing delays and everything else, it was the day of closing. We were sitting at the closing table. I had the seller paperwork in my hand in the file, and she had bought a motorhome because she was going to retire and travel. She had sold what she couldn't fit in the motorhome or didn't want to put in her storage. And we get a call saying that it's not going to close because the buyer had quit his job the day before.
The day before buying a house, he quits his job?
Yes.
And he's getting a mortgage?
Yes.
Oh.
And the reason I'm telling this story is because we are going to have times where listings aren't going to sell within 30 minutes. And not every agent is going to have a 10 commandments of buying a house. Not every lender is going to have a 10 commandments of buying a house. And you have to be prepared for that, because I always think, oh yeah, I've got a plan A, B, C, D, whatever. I had no plan for that one.
Right. And she's already got her money out. And she's out and she sold her stuff and now she's put into limbo. And I really think that gets forgotten sometimes when we look at a misbehaving buyer. The seller is over here completely just stuck and the buyer doesn't recognize what they've done to somebody else's completely upended life. I'm so curious, was the buyer's agent at the closing and then the buyer doesn't show up? How did it play out? Were you just
We're all there. Everybody is there.
Including the buyer?
Yes.
Wait. So the buyer really thought he was going to get a mortgage after quitting the day before?
He had a new job.
He couldn't have waited a week.
I know. And then I called. The lender was not there, which that was just kind of the performance of the whole thing. So I called him and said, can we talk about this? Because he said, well, he does have a new job. He's starting it Monday. Give us 45 days.
Just 45 days?
45 days, which I thought, well, that's kind of baloney anyway. You could have done your job in the amount of time you should have in the first place. This dude might have still had a job.
Right.
And he told me, well, you can't expect them all to close. And I said, well, yes, you can.
He said that to you right out loud?
Yes. He says, you can't expect them all to work out. And I said, well, I sure do. That's why I've called you all the time.
I'm flabbergasted that a lender would say you can't expect them all to close.
Yeah. He was explaining to me basically how my philosophy on business was way, way wrong. And his was right, where you just had all these deals and eventually something would stick. And last time I Googled him, he no longer was working in the industry.
Well, thank heavens. I will be grateful for that, because if that's his attitude, how could any buyer or seller have any confidence that things are going to happen, because the planning can't be on ice all the time?
Yeah. And that's why I'm telling this story, because it could happen again. And people that weren't around need to be mindful of that. And cognizant of talking to your buyers about, this is what we do. You don't buy a new car. You don't quit your job.
And also making sure that as we put our business plans together, which include our professional financial partners, our lending partners are a huge benefit to us.
Yes.
It's a really good practice for agents to talk to that lender and say, what would you do in a scenario like this? And find out if your lender is providing that counsel. I mean, use Melissa's story as a way to engage with your lending partners and find out, would they just blow you off and say, oh, well, 45 days, or would they swing into action? Would they alert you in advance? Would they counsel the buyer? There's so many different ways this could have been, well,
avoided.
It possibly could have been avoided, unless you just have an idiot, in which case you can't always avoid that.
If you are remotely awake, then you know that we are heading into some really tricky economic times. We have home buyers that have put the kibosh on buying. We have sellers who have found out suddenly their houses aren't dipped in 14 karat gold. And as a realtor, you are still trying to keep up with the business you have and trying to answer questions in the meantime while also managing sky high fuel cost at the pump. Never fear, because my new video course is coming out right now and it's called How to Dominate During a Recession. I've been a realtor for 22 years. My business went up every year during the Great Recession, and it's all because of education. This course is 4 modules. There might even be some bonus content for you. The price is $199. I am delighted to bring this out as quickly as possible because, friends, there's no time like the present to make sure our neighbors are stronger and we protect the American dream. Click on this link, www.dominatethisrecession.com, and I'll see you there. Now, back to this amazing content.
I just feel so bad for that seller. So did you have to go sell the house again, or did this guy close 45 days later?
Oh, no. I was done with the whole project. And
you have to look out for your seller. You've got to figure out how to get her on the path as quickly and as well as possible based on what she needs.
And I always believe that there's a reason for everything. And we actually, believe it or not, I did an open house. I have to do something. So an open house seems in order. And we had these beautiful inspection reports, repairs that had been done, receipts and everything else. So I put my home book together. It looked beautiful. And I did an open house. And this couple came through. And their grandkids lived in the area. And they were living in a camper, ironically. And they had cash in the bank. And it was just the cutest little house for them. There was a place that they could store their travel trailer. They could go, but it was small enough, but they could stay there when their grandkids were having their ball tournaments and high school basketball games. And it just worked out. I truly believe now that that guy and all the heartburn was the placeholder holding this house open for the real buyer.
I think you're absolutely right, because we've seen that how many times in our careers? I mean, it's countless times. Something looks awful, but it happened so that the right outcome could come right behind it. I mean, you see it with buyers that lose out in multiple offers, and then the perfect house shows up 2 weeks later and they would have missed out on it. So if you're buying or selling, you should know that that's part of our job as your realtor, is to help you process the emotions when something goes sideways. And we're always looking for ways to make it better. But when we tell you that everything happens for a reason and there's a better house around the corner, we say that because we've seen it so many times. And it's one of the coolest things about real estate. Wouldn't you agree that we're dealing with big money, but we deal with big emotion too?
Yes.
We get to see the sparkle in people's eyes.
Yeah. And like with this, I'm not sure I 110% believed it when I told the nice seller, we have all this now for the real buyer, because I mean, it took 90 days to get the first buyer. I was thinking, well, I hope the real buyer manifests themselves. And they came to the open house. They were just driving around with their kids and they saw my sign because they happened to be in town with their camper parked out at the lake.
And I would think that since then, you should probably be hanging out where these travel trailers are and saying, I'm the agent who understands people who need mobile travel and travel trailers. You should call Melissa because I've seen it all.
Well, that's a good tactic. I'll have to remember that.
I mean, you may as well, if there's cash buyers hanging out down there, just as well know you as anybody.
You're exactly right.
So, Melissa, if somebody out there is looking for a real estate professional in Topeka, they want to find out more about the stats that you're putting in the magazine this month. They want to learn more about what you've gleaned in over a decade of real estate. What's the best way for them to find you?
Well, I have a website. It's melissaherdman.com. You can email me at melissaherdman.com. My telephone number is 785-250-7020. If you want to shoot me a text, that's probably the quickest way to get me to respond.
And that's pretty much the great advice for anybody in and around real estate. If you text right before you call, the answer is far more likely to happen, because aren't we a bunch of screeners in real estate?
Well, yes, or I do love to talk to people on the phone. I'm not a good texter, but I do love it when people call on the phone and I like to hear about their market and their business and exchange ideas.
And have that connection, because at the end of the day, it all boils down to connection.
Well, exactly. And we're all in this together. And I like to connect with like-minded people who believe in the American dream of homeownership and want to treat their folks like family.
Absolutely. Just like you've been treated and you've carried that tradition on for your clients as well.
Exactly.
So all of you who are listening, there is a complete set of Melissa's contact information in the show notes for this episode. In the event that you were sweating to the oldies and didn't write anything down, never fear. You can go connect to her on social and reach out to her. And you just got permission to give her a phone call and see what happens when you reach out and connect with a professional. Melissa, thank you so much for coming on the show. I really appreciate the good advice you have for agents and for buyers and sellers out there.
Well, thank you very much. And congratulations on being on the ballot.
Thank you. I am super excited. And the whole podcast show may change itself over the next few months. We will see what the will of the voters is.
Well, positive energy that way.
Thank you so much. All right, guys, say something nice about Melissa in the comments. Subscribe for more. And we'll make sure and bring you more conversations over here on Crazy Shit in Real Estate.
As always, I'm so super thrilled that you joined in for more crazy shit. And if you're a realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular human being who happens to have an unbelievable story that you need to tell the world about, or you just need to one-up the story you just heard, then make sure to DM me on Instagram at Lee Thomas Brown, or tweet me at Lee Brown, or frankly, any social network where you hang out. I'm there. And if you have some fun, then you totally want to subscribe so you don't miss out on any future episodes.